Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Willie Donick will join us very shortly. He has been a baseball dad this morning. Mm-hmm. But D-Mace is here. D-Mace, how are we doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's hot, too.
It's hot as hell outside.
Hot as fish grease.
Staff member, reporter Nick. You're both of them. How are we doing, Nick?
Wait a second. Derek, why'd you throw out the fish oil?
Grease. Whoa.
You ever fried fish in cold grease?
Nick, I'm just confused.
First is not fish oil, okay, Nick? It's fish grease.
Well,
everybody,
all our listeners know
what I'm talking about. Fish grease. You don't know how hot fish grease is?
No, I know what it is because I do all the, what is it, catfish broils all the time. Yeah,
that's
my family.
Hot as fish grease. You know how hot that is. Let some fish grease get on you and see what you be doing.
Mm, you ever fry a fish in cold grease?
Exactly.
Doesn't work very well. It's got to be pretty hot. Just how hot it is outside.
Oh, my goodness. That's how hot it is outside, Nick.
Well, we've got to ask D-Mace at 12:30. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Also, Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and a Sportsnet. He normally joins us on Thursdays, but as you can imagine with the NHL draft, Elliot Friedman was an awfully busy man. So he will join us at the end of this hour. He had some wild, wild, spicy reports throughout the week about the Predators. So he will join us in 45 minutes. Nick has a report.
Okay, so this is coming down. Elliot Friedman, friend of the show that you just name dropped. The Predators are deciding to buy out Matt Duchene.
Oh.
Whoa.
That is a huge development. Wow. And he has the same contract as a Ryan Johansson.
Eight years, eight million.
Will have to decide on what that's going to look like. So that is breaking news right out of the get-go. A lot of buyouts are due today. This is why they're all coming down. So with that being said, the immediate thing I can tell you is it'll probably look a lot like the way that the Preds are going to pay out Johansson. I'm surprised they couldn't find a trade. And
for
then
Duchene?
Not necessarily surprised, but that they didn't maybe explore it first.
They probably did.
That's probably what Trotz was working the phones on most of the time. But they're buying him out. Doesn't matter regardless. So if you're going to pay him out, I mean, look, it's going to look similar to what they're paying Joey. But I want to see how it's broken down and see what's going on. So, but I'll let you guys know more as I get it. But he is being bought up by the Nashville Predators. This does not happen. The only other time I believe that there's been a buyout was with Kyle Turris. There's not been very many. This is probably the second highest, probably the biggest, highest profile case the Preds have ever had buying someone out. Last one being Turris. And we're still paying him. He's being paid till the end of 2028.
Eating salary and buying contracts out, are not something that this organization traditionally does. But the person in charge now is not the person that has been in charge. Can I please give a round of applause to Big Swing Barry Trotz? Holy moly, Barry Trotz is not wasting any time whatsoever putting his fingerprint on this team, and he has told us several times, time and time again, be patient with us, but this is a new era of Nashville Predators hockey. The contracts that really have just been weighing this organization down between Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, massive contracts for long term for two players that simply just have not lived up to those contracts. Mm-hmm. And they came in two different scenarios, one being Ryan Johansson was a young phenom that was a massive part of that 2017 team making a cup run, the 2018 team winning the President's Trophy. I don't think David Poile had much of a choice signing him to that contract. But on the other side, Matt Duchene contract was really a bad deal ever since he signed it. And he hasn't lived up to it for basically the entirety of his career as a Nashville Predator. You could say this past season, not this past season, but two seasons ago, mm-hmm. rather, was his best season and was the closest that he got to living up to that $8 million contract. But really, it was, you know, $16 million where the Predators weren't getting $16 million worth of production. So Barry Trotz is looking at it and saying, hey, we're cutting ties. And if that means over the next 3 years, Matt Duchene has 3 years left on his deal, $8 million apiece, so $24 million remaining on Matt Duchene's contract. If that means that they've got to eat some of Johansson's salary, if they've got to eat some of Duchene's salary, then fine, then do it. You're not making a cup run this year. Mm-mm. Continue to accumulate young talent and continue to start to groom this young talent to be the core of the future. Barry Trotz, my hat's off to you.
Okay, so here is an update that has been provided by Cap Friendly. They do a really quick and good job. So here's what it's going to look like for the Predators by season. This year, the Predators are going to pay him $2.5 million. Next season is 5.5. After that is 6.5. Then the last three are basically $1.5 million. So it's not a horrible cap hit every single season, but they structured it that way too. So I like that a lot.
It's over the next 4 years.
Correct. It's going to be over the next six seasons.
Six years.
Okay. They are divvying out at the end $1 million. So it's going to push the years out a little bit further.
It's like if you cut it in half, it essentially becomes they're trying to make it a little bit longer. That way they don't pay it all up front that quick.
That makes sense.
So what's good for them is the last three are $1.5 million as opposed to Kyle Turris, who's getting paid $2 million per season. So
this is why Barry Trotz is clearing up cap space. I mean, Barry Trotz has bigger plans, and we thought about it. Okay, he's clearing up cap space. He's dumping some of Ryan Johansson's salary. They decided to sell at the trade deadline. We asked ourselves, mm-hmm. D-Mace, what is this for? Are you planning on making a big signing? Are you making a big trade? Mm-hmm. I think that this is it.
Well, this should indicate to everybody that there's a big move coming, one or two big moves, because
and a big change.
The change is there. I don't think as Barry looked at it and as Coach Brunette is coming in, one, Johansson didn't fit what they were going to be doing, the new look Predators. So they trade him away to Colorado, and they pick up half of the contract. And then they looked at Duchene. He doesn't fit what they want to do. This team wants to be faster. This team wants to be more explosive. And they're trying to move themselves away from that old way of playing. And, you know, honestly, it started – you know, in the middle of the season when they made all those trades, and they had, you know, the younger guys came up and the team seemed rejuvenated. The team seemed much faster and quicker. So I think this all leads toward this team looking totally different from what we've seen the last 20 some years. I believe this team and what Barry envisioned and what Coach Bruno envisions is going to look totally different for what we've been seeing, at least for the last 5, 6 years, 10 years.
So, Derek, I think that's a great point. And I want to remind our listeners, too, and you guys. So tomorrow is the opening of free agency. Mm-hmm. And so buyouts were due today, I believe, by 4 p.m., as well as qualifying offers, too. So hopefully I can give you guys a little bit more scoop as mm-hmm. we go throughout the day on maybe some RFAs or some buyouts. But he is now easily, in my opinion, easily the most attractive free agent starting tomorrow, I would say. There are a couple. I think the way that Duchene has played over the course of his entire career, I think he has been consistent. He did not have a good year this last year. He's not lived up. I think it's perfect. He has not lived up to what the Preds wanted to pay him out to have every single season. That is very, very fair. The part where I think he's the most attractive free agent is now he can bargain at any price. Now, the way I would gauge it, the way that he's played, if I'm a GM, I don't think I pay him more than $7 million or even $6.5 million, maybe.
I think even that's a stretch.
It might be. I think it very well could. But if someone has the space, that would be the most. But think about it.
But you think that he's a more attractive free agent than Taves or Kane or Tarasenko?
Absolutely.
I don't think he
is. Because if he's able to still be somewhat of the winger he was 2 years ago, which he showed flashes of this year and played well with the young players, in my opinion, he could fit right in with some other team. Look, he played really well at the Avalanche before he got here. He came to Nashville and showed out for the first couple of years.
What, 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a long time. But I think, too, he still has the capability to be a prolific playmaker. He still is. He has elite puck handling ability. He is phenomenal when he's trying to make plays. He's easily someone that could be attractive to a contender and then negotiate a bang for the buck of what he could bring to the table.
Well, he's a, I mean, he's a 20, mid 20 goal per year guy around that
25 50, goals, I would yeah, say, yeah.
About 50 something points somewhere around there. So, I mean, listen, it didn't work out here. And I say this, you know, with a lot of guys, especially if you look at the totality of their careers, it didn't work out here with him the way he wanted it to. One season he had, it was great. But beside that, I don't think they got their money's worth out of Duchesne. But I still believe he's a good player. And like Nick said, he can probably help someone else. But this team is in a different place. If this team was cup contending, I think they keep Duchesne. But they're not in that space no more.
They're not in that space. And that's what Barry Trotz has said. And he sat down with Jared yesterday. I want to get into what he said with Jared yesterday. But Barry Trotz just continues to reiterate that, you know, we want the young guys to get a crack at it. And we have a new vision. If you're not part of the vision, we can't have you on this team anymore. We saw that come to fruition with the Ryan Johansson trade. But here's my thing with Duchesne. Duchesne is a fine player. Seattle could have had Matt Duchesne for free.
They didn't take him.
I have to think that Barry Trotz did his due diligence and was picking up the phone about dealing Matt Duchesne. Barry Trotz, obviously, like we saw with Ryan Johansson, is willing to eat some of the salary. But they didn't – clearly, there were no takers. I cannot imagine that Barry Trotz's first inclination with Matt Duchesne or his first move with Matt Duchesne is just to buy out his contract. I think it would be a lot more cap-friendly to go ahead and just trade him. Maybe you get something in return. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. And then you don't sign him like you did Ryan Johansson.
Maybe you pay half the salary.
Right, exactly. But I think that the market tells you what your value is. And I think that we've seen that the market for Matt Duchesne just is not very robust. But Barry Trotz is moving on without him regardless. And I think that this is a good move for the Predators. Like Barry Trotz said, it's going to hurt for a little bit. You don't, you know, move on from good players, and that is what Johansson and Duchesne are. They're fine players. They're just not $8 million players. You don't move on from, you know, your core players and get better in the short term, but you do get better in the long run, and that's what Barry Trotz's vision is. It's not this year. It's not this postseason. It's 3 to 4 years from now, and I can live with that. I can live with that if that is the expectation. If you're just joining us now, the Predators have decided to buy out Matt Duchesne's contract. I mean, this is huge. Willie's going to join us shortly. We'll get to your thoughts and your reactions on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace is brought to you by the New Zen Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. A little bit of breaking news coming out from the Darren Dragers and the Frank Saravallis and Elliot Friedman, who will join us in 25 minutes. The Predators have bought out Matt Duchesne's contract. So now the Predators have over $24 million in cap space, which puts the Predators right under the Detroit Red Wings for the fourth most cap space in the league. Welcome to the Barry Trotz era, ladies and gentlemen. Willie Donick is joining us.
Hello, guys.
Slow news day today, Willie.
Well, just your easy news drop on a Friday, huh? How about that?
Friday before 4th of July?
Yeah. Now, it's interesting. No, the 4th of July for hockey, start of the free agency, it's really not laid back at all. It's a pretty much of a frenzy.
Right. Your initial reaction to the Predators making the move to buy out Matt Duchesne's contract?
Well, if you think about it, Barry Trotz, once again, dropped some hints. He dropped some hints to you guys, before he traded Ryan Johansson last Friday. So I think if you listen to the interview with Jared, this is as much, I think, a culture move as it is a salary cap kind of move. It's just a guy that is not living up to the contract. And sorry, I was racing
Willie
in here.
Willie just ran in here.
I mean, when I heard I was coming down the pike, and then I was like, wow. So I think it's one thing to make $8 million a year and not quite be the player that they thought they were getting.
Right.
But when you add on top of that, you're trying to change the culture. You've changed the coach. I think this is about culture more than production. I heard Nick talk about the numbers aren't that bad. I mean, well, for $8 million, they're not good. You had the one really good year 2 years ago. But, you know, Ryan McDonough, you could argue, may not be worth, with points and assists, the number he's making. But he's absolutely worth every dime when it comes to the culture. So I think you need to look into that as well as the production with Duchesne.
And that's a very fair point that you bring up, because Barry Trotz talked about that yesterday. We'll let Willie catch his breath a little
bit. I'll be okay in 30 seconds.
Okay, and we'll give you some time.
I'm a fast recover.
And we have some clips that I'd like to play from Barry Trotz's sit down with Jared. And Barry Trotz was talking about, we want young guys. We want to start creating roster holes for some of these young guys. That was one of the reasons why he cited that he made the Ryan Johansson moves. We've got to create space to get these young guys experience, and also create space that when those young guys, the Joakim Kimmels and the Yusso Parsonens, are ready to play at this next level, that there is space for them to play at this next level and contribute for the Nashville Predators. The other thing that Barry Trotz talked about several times, and he hammered on time after time after time, is that we want to have a team where guys want to, one, be here, kind of, you know, taking a page out of Mike Vrabel's playbook. We want guys who want to be here and to have this quote-unquote, like, championship culture. We want people that are constantly committed to the vision of the Nashville Predators. And look, it's not easy, I'm sure, for veterans like Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi and Ryan McDonough to hear Barry Trotz say, it's going to be a little tough. Give us some time. It's probably not easy for the veterans to hear that the Predators are now going to be taking a few steps back. But I think that guys like Ryan McDonough and Roman Josi, they have the kind of attitude that it's, we're going to go out there and we're going to give you our absolute best because that's just what we do, even when times might not be very peachy. I don't know if Matt Duchesne had the same demeanor or commitment to see a not rebuild, not retool, or re-whatever you want to call it that the Predators are going through over the next couple of years.
Well, it boils down to, you know, Willie said it, culture over cash. You know, if you fit what we envision moving forward, then we can make something work out. We can work something out in regards to keeping you. But if you don't fit into the culture moving forward and what we're trying to achieve, you know, even though we still believe you're a good player, you can help a team. But like I said to you, Caroline, this team is in a different space right now. Duchesne may go and help someone else that's a little bit closer to winning the Stanley Cup. Johansson will be a part of Colorado's continued success moving forward. But those teams, wherever Duchesne goes, and we assume he would go to a contender, but wherever he goes and where Johansson's at, their teams will be in a different spot more than likely than where the Predators are. The Predators are in a position where, listen, we got a lot of young talent. We got our core guys, Forsberg, Soros, and
Josi.
I forgot. So we got our three core guys, and then we got some young guys. Now we're going to continue to add. And by the way, we're getting rid of salary, so we can't potentially bring on another big name that fits what we want to do moving forward, that plays the style of game that we want to be able to play.
Well, that is going to be interesting because I will go back and emphasize this. And look, Matt Duchesne is a really, really good guy. He's a good family. I know he is probably really disappointed to hear
I'm
this.
Sure
now,
he is.
As Nick said, he becomes a pretty attractive guy on a very weak free agent class. And the team that is going to be interested in him is going to say, hey, Matt, you're getting paid pretty well by the Predators the next few years. They have to pay it. He's getting money either way. He's right. not on the cap.
Yeah.
Part of the cap is still retained, but he gets the cash. Right. He's getting paid. So he's getting that money on top of whatever he gets from his new team. So that new team can say, all right, Matt, you're getting X from the Predators. If you play for $3 million for us,
pretty good.
That's a good deal for both sides. The Predators have worked that to their advantage. They've picked up some guys who have been bought out, paid them $1 million, and you know they still make $3 or $4 million, and you get a guy for $1 million against the cap. So I think Duchesne will be attractive because he can score. But right now, and I was listening to some hockey guys talk about this morning, our guys from PDO, mm-hmm. you know, the Puck Luck, PDO, so, Dmitry Filipovich.
PDO Puck Luck.
What they said was there is a gluttony right now of sort of overpaid wingers who can score some goals. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Predators will be interested in the right guys. So I can't emphasize enough. This is partially about production. He has underachieved most of the years. And really, when you go back, look, he's had an enormous amount of potential. He's got unbelievable talent, and he's a good person. But he just, for whatever reason, has not found much consistency. And this is, I think, about the culture that you're trying to build. So I think Barry Trotz will be looking for the right veterans who can score a little bit, mm-hmm. but provide a little bit of that grit and that follow-me leadership example mm-hmm. for these young guys that they're going to be bringing in over the next couple of years. And I think Matt Duchesne really did not fit that profile. They had the cap space to keep him. After they did the Johansson move, this was not about, hey, we got to get rid of that contract necessarily. It wasn't a great contract. Now, when you take a look, I don't see a bad contract on the docket. They can do almost anything they want. But I think it's more what Barry's saying. They want to create a new culture, and they want to leave the space for whoever emerges here in the next year or two with these young guys.
James is on the line with a thought on the Matt Duchesne contract. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, James?
Well, Willie, you just gave me the perfect segue to go into what I was called about. I called about Cody Glass, but before I get into Cody Glass, I just want to go back in time a little bit, you know, with the bad contracts. You know, David Poile, after the President's Trophy, we know what awful contract that Cal Turris was. He was worthless, as you know what, on a hog. He didn't do anything. And Matt Duchesne was a little bit better than that and certainly had more talent. But like Willie said, there was no rhyme or reason why it didn't work out for him here. Now, getting to the future, and that's what I want to focus on. Things that Barry Trotz has done so far, I applaud. I know it's going to be painful for a couple of years, and Derek was commenting on this very topic before you came on, Willie, the last segment. And I think, and I want to hear from every single one of you when I get off the phone, and if you'll leave me online because I don't have access to a radio for like 1 minute so I can hear your response, that'd be great. Where do you see Cody Glass's ceiling? I think the guy's very talented. He's quick. We saw a lot of potential greatness out of him last season. And where do you see him fitting in what Barry Trotz's new concept is going to be? Please hold me on the line for a minute. I want to hear from each and every one of y'all. Please, thank you so much.
Thank you for your call, James.
Well, Cody Glass has been qualified. He's going to be signed, mm-hmm. right? And so I think the question with Glass will be, and we'll see if Elliot learned anything while he was in Nashville. Elliot was on the move. Like, he was on that floor. he was working it. I wonder how he keeps his phone charged, honestly. But is Cody Glass going to take a 1 or 2 year deal? Or is this a guy that Barry Trotz says, and this would be a little page out of David Poile's book, mm-hmm. this is a chance to lock the guy up for 4 or 5 years at a very good bargain before he has the leverage to become an unrestricted free agent. So remember contracts like Roman Josi's second contract, Ryan Ellis's, Matthias Ekholm's, Victor Arvidsson's, where you say, I like this guy. Mm-hmm. This guy's part of our core going forward. Let's lock him up at a very good team-friendly rate. And the player gets the security of playing. So I don't know what that number would be. Let's say it's $2 million, $2.5 million. Would that be a good buy? Even if he doesn't, the caller wants to know the ceiling. I think the ceiling is a really good, this is just my opinion, mm-hmm. a really good number two center would be the ceiling. The floor is a very solid number three center.
Yeah.
So if you're paying a number three center, $2.5 million, that's great for your budget. Mm-hmm. And if you got a guy playing number two center for $2.5 million, that's a real bargain. So that's maybe what they're going to look at. Tommy Novak is another one. Makes $800,000. He's unrestricted at the end of next year. That's another guy they might take a look at and say, can we lock him up for longer for a decent price? And then you can go get the big fish when they become available.
Do you think they're also clearing cap space for this? And we can answer that on the other side of the break. Because you got two young guys where their contracts is coming up, and you're clearing cap space for potential free agents, and then the guys that you have on your team that you got to sign back that has shown potential, Glass and Novak.
We'll get into that. Plus, we've got a bunch of phones in our phone line, so we are right to those coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Elliot Friedman will join us in 15 minutes. 1025-1063, The Game.
How long in general do you want fans to say, hey, it's going to take some time with these guys, knowing that everybody's different?
Yeah, no, absolutely. With this core that we drafted today, I would say, you know, you're in your mind, you have to have a 3 to 4 year mindset. Think when you think that we're drafting 18, I want you to really look at them at 22. If they pop before, then they, you know, they will be contributing players. But I always say it takes like 3 or 4 years. And, you know, we already have some kids that were drafted 2 years ago. Kids are drafted last year. And now we got a group of kids that are drafted. So what I'm trying to set up is, you know, I said we may have to take some step backwards. And, you know, there'll be some pain in this process. But, you know, for the last couple of years, you know, listening to your show, listening, you know, doing social media, I always follow the Predators. And there's been a really huge section of our fan base that said, hey, it's time to sort of rebuild a little bit. Mm-hmm. But and they started that process a little bit, but we're not in a rebuild. It's not necessarily a retool. We're somewhere in between. And that's why I said
it's a re-something.
Yes. And I've got to do a job now. I wanted to open up some cap space. I wanted to set, you know, a 4 year plan where, you know, next year, now we had some great, you know, Luke Evangelista and Tomasino, and we had the young Kemmel and Askarov. They were all in Milwaukee. They were key players there, but they may not be ready yet. Mm-hmm. But they may be our guys coming up. You know, we get someone injured, they're coming up, and I got skill guys to replace. I got, you know, hopefully the Schaefer kid that we got in the Edmonton deal can come up and give us some bang and some sandpaper and stuff like that. So my job in the next little while is to create holes for them where, when they're ready, I've got a place to put them. What happens with the salary cap and signing this free agent going forward tomorrow, if I oversign, I lose spaces for
them.
That was Barry Trotz on with Jared Stillman yesterday. Highly, highly recommend that you give that interview a listen. Jared did a great job with Barry Trotz at the NHL draft yesterday. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Elliot Friedman will join us in 10 minutes. He has got all the scoop on the latest with the Predators, so we will talk with him in 10 minutes. You won't want to miss that. Let me just say, it is so refreshing to me to hear Barry Trotz's plan. Say we need to open up cap space, open up roster holes, and that's exactly what he's doing. You're seeing his plan come into motion. He's not just talking about doing these things. He's doing these things, and he's acknowledging the growing pains that come with some of these decisions and saying, look, I understand it's not going to be all sunshine and roses here. I'll tell you that. I'm the first one to acknowledge that. I want to prepare you. But he has this plan, and he's putting it in motion, and I appreciate that. Let's get into some of your thoughts. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter texts in, says, I still don't understand the draft that Barry Trotz takes a big swing, misses. He gets dubbed Big Swing Barry. What a guy. Name dropped who he wanted to trade and everything. Rand Carthon does the same thing, and it's a terrible rookie mistake. Why is Rand Carthon being held to a higher standard? I'm glad that this texter brought this up, because this texter might not be the only person that might be thinking about this and saying, hey, you're holding the two GMs at different standards. But we're not. Because I think it's two very different things. I think that the most notable difference between the Titans draft and the Predators draft is that the pick that the Titans were trying to get up to, that number three pick to get CJ Stroud, that was up for sale. The Arizona Cardinals were calling around. They wanted to get out of that number three overall spot desperately. The top five picks in the NHL draft weren't necessarily for sale.
They were for sale, but you had to give up a lot.
Well, the rumor that I heard on this on the PDO podcast, and we'll ask Elliot what he was able to find out, but they were throwing around Askarov and both first-round picks. Mm. Now, if they had done that, I could not. I would have been very uncomfortable, okay? If Barry's saying he was uncomfortable, I would have been on the air going, what in the – that is
– a lot.
I don't know if I'd be able to breathe. Uh-huh. I would have been, like, trying to catch my breath. Both first-round picks? Like, that's a lot. So, I only time is going to tell, right? I think it's an interesting thing to bring up. You got two new GMs, right? Mm-hmm. Two different sports, two different salary cap structures. But there's a lot of parallels.
Yeah,
we've been saying for weeks
where
the teams are. You know, how much are you going? Now, the Titans have kind of stayed in that we're not really rebuilding. We want to take one more swing with the veterans. But we're kind of have an eye on the future. The Predators could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You remember where they were last year, but they have gone way over towards the Barry and Jared were saying, re-something. I don't think it's not a full rebuild at all. It's still a very competitive team, I think. And they have great opportunities to get bargains on veterans that can give you a little bit more production to beef up what they have right now.
A million options.
And look, I, this is, again, no offense to Johansson and Duchesne. But if you get character guys who give you a decent production, you might come out ahead rather than the constant, how do you get more out of the $8 million guys? You know, that has just sucked the life out of them for sections of seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
With some exceptions. A couple years ago, they both had good seasons, and you saw what the team could look like. But it's an interesting comparison that I would say. The other thing is, the Titans might be better off not. We only in 4 years, we'll know. You might say Ryan Carthen was a genius for not taking the big swing or not being able to execute a big swing. If they were going for pick number 3, and I think they probably took a shot at it, maybe in time they'll say, man, aren't they lucky they didn't get that deal? Levis in the second round? Skoronski, you know, well, only time will tell. And just like if Barry had pulled off the big swing, we might have been celebrating, well, oh, my gosh. We win the press conference. That's the story of the draft, a huge blockbuster. But in 3 or 4 years, you might have been saying, dang, you gave up Askarov and 2 first-round picks for that guy? Like, who knows if that would have worked out.
Well, I think both guys did what they intended to do, is to move up in the draft, to try to get that big-time player that would shift their franchise. One guy in Trotsky wasn't able to do it because no one – it was like, listen, you got to give up more to move up. The other guy couldn't do it, and it wasn't his fault. It was, if we are to believe what has been put out there, somehow, some way, news got out of that building. I can't blame Rand Carthon for that because I'm sure Rand Carthon isn't the one that put the business out there.
That's
so,
another thing. Is,
so both
I don't
of them,
put that on Rand Carthon.
Yeah.
I put that on Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
So, he's the one who's done this before.
Exactly. I think both GMs wanted to try to swing big, but for different reasons, they were not able to.
And the other added element of, for the Titans, you didn't just not be able to trade up and take that quarterback that you thought was your guy. Your in-division rival got that pick and got your guy. So that was just another level of just salt in the wound. Wes in Hermitage says it's not a rebuild. It's not a retool. It is a simple, soft factory reset. Guess we can take that.
Well, I want to see what they do now with the space. Because I've put together a little depth chart at forward. Now with Duchesne gone. So let's just take what they have right now in my quick scribble here. In the top six, let's say you take the leap of faith and you have Parsonen and Forsberg on the top line. Parsonen centering, Forsberg, and then there is a big hole where Duchesne would have been penciled in. Now you can go find a guy. And as we said, the market for wingers right now is pretty good if you're willing to, if you have cap space. There are wingers out there I think you could get. I mean, the big one would be DeBrincat, but you got to trade for him. You got to give up something significant to get him, and then he would be costly. I don't know if they're going to go there based on what I'm hearing.
Because you would have to sign him to a new deal.
It would be, he would be a big, big money guy. Now you got to decide, he's only 25. Is he part of the future when you come back around and in 2 or 3 years and you feel really good about what's there? Is that a guy that you think could be part of that. That's what you would have to decide. But let's just say a veteran winger that you spend $3 or $4 million on, I think those guys will be out there. And hopefully it's a character guy. Then on the second line, right now, I like Novak and Evangelista together. They had great chemistry. And then Kiefer Sherwood was the guy that was playing with them. Now, he's one of those minor league overachievers, really played well down the stretch. Is he for real? Mm-hmm. He's got to be sitting there going, wow, I got an opportunity now.
Exactly.
I had an opportunity last year. Now I really have an opportunity for a full season. So that's he's out there. You've got Cody Glass and Phil Tomasino that played a lot together last year. So you could put them on a line with a guy like Mark Jankowski. But that's another spot I think that would be open for another good, steady veteran who wouldn't break the bank that could be a character guy. So to me, there's room for a couple forwards to sign who would enhance the culture, be the good placeholder for when guys like Kimmel, and he mentioned Reed Schaefer and Zach LaRue and Fedor Svechkov and some of the top players they're going to have on Milwaukee next year. So it's intriguing. It's intriguing. He could go a number of different ways. He's got the cap space to do it. To me, I would be looking for some – who are some Ryan McDonough character-type guys, Colton Sissons type of guys who might have a little more skill, who will have some grit that will help these young guys bring out the best in themselves.
The news of the day, the Nashville Predators are buying out Matt Duchene's contract. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and a Sportsnet will join us coming up next. We got a lot of talk with Elliot about. So we'll do that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, it's a pretty slow news day the past couple of days here in Nashville. I'm totally kidding. The breaking news today is that the Predators have decided to buy out Matt Duchene. It seems like, Elliot, the Barry Trotz administration is wasting no time getting things started in this new era of Nashville Predators hockey.
Well, I have to say this, Kelly. You would have said take no prisoners. I think that would have
that
been
too.
Completely accurate, too. Like, I don't think anybody could argue with that. Look, I'm surprised. I knew they were trying to trade him. That's been on and off for a couple of years, but I knew they were trying to trade him. I'm not surprised that they couldn't do that because simply there's just not a lot of teams that can handle that kind of a contract. But I was blown away when the note came across this afternoon that he was getting bought out. I did not see that coming. That just... That really surprised me. I guess maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but it did surprise me.
Why were you so surprised?
Why was I so surprised? Because that's a big ticket. Yeah. Like, Ryan Johansson is 2 years at $4 million. And plus, like, how many teams, like, eat that much salary? Now, it helps that you guys have a lot of cap room, to almost $25 million. You got a lot of flexibility to do things, but basically, you are you're asking your ownership to eat a lot of money for people who are not going to play for you. And some owners will do it, some owners won't. Some owners will do it at certain times, and not others. But that is a big commitment to the turnaround of the team by your ownership group. Like, there's a lot of teams that wouldn't do that.
Elliot Friedman is with us, Sportsnet 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, Barry Trotz told Pierre LeBrun, I had an offer and it was uncomfortable to move up into the top five on Wednesday night. From what you know, what was Barry Trotz's offer and what do you think it would have taken to get into either four or five, San Jose or Montreal?
Well, it was Askarov plus. Like, that's what it was. It was the goalie prospect plus. I think it's really hard. Like, there's a reason, Carolyn, that those picks don't get traded because you can't find those players. What's Nashville looking for right now? They're looking for a number one center. Look at the first four players who went in the draft. They were all centers. Could be first-line centers. And I think the guy that Nashville liked the most, I mean, aside from Bedard, like, that's obvious, was Carlson. and he went second overall. And, you know, the Predators just weren't going to be able to trade up to the top two. Like, it just, those picks don't get traded. And I think he tried his best. I think he offered a Skarov plus, including a first-round draft pick. But I have to tell you, I'm not incredibly surprised that none of the top four teams were going to move down for that. It's just centers are too hard to find, and now you guys are going to go out there and try to find one.
Now, Elliot, you just mentioned the center position. Do you think they try to go out and make a splash at that position? And if you do believe that, then who is the guy out there? Or do you believe they will give guys like Cody Glass and Novak an opportunity to continue to grow into the potentially the players they can be?
Yes, I still do believe that those players will be, like, Novak showed it a lot this year, and Glass took a big step this year. And you can't win in this league by constantly throwing money or assets at the problem. You have to develop your own players, and Novak and Glass are players that Nashville can develop. But that doesn't mean you don't try to get better. That doesn't mean you don't try to go out and get some people. You know, the one thing, I do think the Predators have tried to trade for a center. I had a couple teams telling me, not only about the draft deal, I had a couple teams telling me that Nashville is very active to try to trade for a center. You know, Barry Trotz, in one of his public comments, said he's not crazy about the free agent market, but there are a couple of centers out there in free agency I could see him looking at, depending the price. One is Ryan O'Reilly. The other is JT Compher. It's possible there are more, but, you know, I think he's hard at work trying to find a center. And that doesn't mean that Novak goes or Glass goes necessarily. It just means that I think right now, if you're trying to be competitive or you're trying to go somewhere, you know, Derek, if your top two centers are Novak and Glass, you're overmatched. And I think you want to help them grow, but you also want to protect them. And, you know, one of the things that happens is if you have players who are just not ready for the role that you're going to ask them to play, it can really affect them. So I think they want someone around them who can help get these guys to the next level.
Yeah, I would throw Yusuf Parsons in there in that group of centers that's going to be in the mix. They like, but he's very, very young, as you say. Elliot Friedman is with us here. Elliot, let's just look at Ryan Johansson and Kevin Hayes. You and Jeff used the return of some of these guys as, you know, free players almost, or half price, whatever you want to say. You're basically giving these guys away. Are you surprised that no team presumably would have taken Duchesne at roughly the same price as Kevin Hayes? If the same deal were offered, presumably, around the league, the Blues, for example, they went for Kevin Hayes. Nobody bid on Duchesne and sort of forced Barry Trotz's hand.
No, I'm not surprised because, you know, like, Duchesne had 86 points last year. Like, this is not a bad player. But I think that there's just not a lot of teams that are available to do that. You know, Colorado made their choice. They did Johansson, and they got Ross Colton. St. Louis got their guy in Kevin Hayes. And to be honest, you know, Willie, there's just not a lot of teams out there that can do that. Like, I don't know what Nashville was willing to do here. I don't know what the trade talks were like. But I just don't think there's enough teams that were in a position that this was something they could consider. And I think that's why we ended up where we are.
Have you ever been part of a draft where there were no trades in the first round?
No. In 2007, the last time it happened, 16 years ago, I didn't cover the draft. I worked for Hockey Night in Canada, but we didn't have the draft rights, so we didn't do it. So I watched that one and watched the boredom. Now I was actually a part of the boredom.
But I'm sure you had the phone buzzing nonetheless there. Did anybody else? We know the Predators were taking big swings. What else was maybe happening? Were other teams calling the Sharks and the Canadiens, presumably?
Yes, I think Philadelphia tried to move up, although they got the player they wanted. Washington said they tried to move up and gave up about a week in advance. I think there were a number of teams that were trying. I know Boston was trying to get into the first round, but they weren't able to get in there. They thought they were going to be able to, but they didn't. I think there was a lot of action. I think one of the things that happened really was, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 went as expected. 5 maybe wasn't the pick everyone expected, but he was a good player. He was high on a lot of lists. I think Arizona at 6 drafted a player that people weren't expecting to go there. And then some teams didn't really know what to expect of Mishkov at 7. So all of a sudden, good players were getting pushed down. Now, I think one of the things that happened is, like Buffalo at 13, they really wanted to move up, but then Benson fell to them, and they got and they're like, we don't need to trade because we're going to get a guy we wanted. Like I think with you guys too, once you initially failed to get up into the top 4, Wood was a guy. I think you got him at 15. I heard you guys had him ranked like 8. So all of a sudden, you're looking at the draft and you're saying, this is this guy that we really like, and he's falling to us. We don't need to try to move up now. And I think that happened in a few situations.
Do you have any other names that you would say are in this category that we've been talking about? For example, I heard you yesterday. I was listening, just driving over from my house to the arena, and all of a sudden, boom, there goes Kyler Yamamoto and Klim Kostin for the old Freddie Charles. I was teaching Caroline and Derek who Freddie Charles is, the future considerations. When I was young, covers, like, the Predators just got this guy, Freddie Charles. Who's this guy?
Huge upside.
Yeah, huge. A lot of upside. But
huge upside,
Are there any other sort of maybe overpaid forwards that would be good character placeholders that the Predators might have their eye on?
Boy, that's a great question. I got to tell you, you should have given me this homework assignment before, Willie. Like, normally it's Carolyn who gives me the homework assignment.
The hard hitters.
I've delegated duties this week, Elliot.
Elliot, I'm kind of looking through Cap Friendly right now and starting to scribble down names I don't know if they're available or not, but I just see this market right now while everybody's in a cap crunch and saying, when you have cap space, you have some options out there.
Well, like I said, I think you guys are looking for centers. And, the reason I mentioned Compher's an unrestricted free agent, and I think he's a guy you've looked at. O'Reilly would definitely fit. That'll be an interesting one. He's 32 years old. He's won a cup. He was the MVP of the playoffs in 2019. He's got a lot of respect around the league. I mean, you're going to have to be willing to give him some term, 4 or 5 years, potentially. And I'm curious to see how Barry would feel about that. But he fits. What other names were you coming up with there? Maybe I can just run through that with me.
I'm looking at a guy like Anthony Beauvillier on the Vancouver team that's trying to shake things up. He's got 1 year left. He played for Barry Trotz. I'm just looking for connections, somebody like that.
Yeah, that's
or even
bad.
How about this crazy name? Bad. How about Victor Arvidsson for 1 year?
Well, the thing is, the LA is really tight to the cap, and they're going to have to do some things. And one of the names that, they have a couple of really of decent young players. Well, one of them, Anderson Dolan, they might not be able to qualify him today. And he's a talented young player. I think the one thing now, I knew one of Iafallo and Arvidsson had to go. And they were able to do it with Iafallo. I'm not 100% sure they need to do it with Arvidsson again. But the Kings will have to trade things and do things to get their cap to work. I like you starting that one, Willie. Bring back Arvidsson, see if it gets some fire.
I think that would be a popular move. There's a guy that wears number 9 for the Predators that I think would sign up for that, for sure.
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah, good to make that guy happy.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, we've heard for so long that Barry Trotz wanted to take the big swings, that Barry Trotz wanted to make that move to get into the top 5. From what you've heard, was there one specific player, and who was that one specific player that the Predators were trying to get that big swing to go get?
I heard the guy they liked was Carlson, who went 2nd overall to the Ducks. At that point in time, you take whichever one of the 4 you can get, right? Like, you're not getting Bedard. If you trade up to, say, 4, and Carlson's gone, and then Fantilli's gone, you take Will Smith, and you're happy. But I think I heard the guy they really liked was Carlson. They weren't going to be able to trade up to 2 in Carolina. It just wasn't happening.
Yeah, just not a big enough swing out there to get all the way to 2. Elliot, based off of the moves that the Predators have made, some of the things that Barry Trotz has said, what is your impression of what this team can be this upcoming season?
I think it's really tough to say because I don't know what it looks like yet. Like, I want to see what they do over the next couple of days. What do they look like down the middle? But I think, you know, one of the things I think is obvious here is that if you're not competitive, if they don't feel you're a competitive team-first person, and I don't really like assaulting people's characters. I'm not sure what was going on here. But, like, if you're not competitive and you're not a bulldog, they're going to get rid of you. And they're not going to be afraid to get rid of people that they feel are underperforming. And I think that's the message that the Predators have sent over the past couple of days, is that they think this group had their run, they took their chance, but it was over, and now it's time to start a little bit different.
Elliot, I am so glad that you have lived to tell the tale of your week in Nashville.
You know, I have to tell you, I took two nights off, but I had two nights where it was definitely Nashville 2, Elliot 0. And I'm leaving, and my liver is like, thank God, get out of here. Yeah. I like Nashville, and I like it too much.
Been there.
Well, you got to redeem yourself, Elliot.
Elliot, we appreciate you so much. Safe travels home. We'll chat with you next week.
Well, you know what, actually? I got to tell you, Carolyn, I'm taking the summer off. So I'm done for a little bit, but we'll talk next season, okay?
Good for you. Enjoy the time off. Very well deserved. It is going to be a long summer without Elliot Friedman, but we're looking forward to chatting when the season kicks off.
Thanks for everything, Elliot.
Thank you, Elliot.
Appreciate you, Elliot.
Take care, guys.
All right, thanks. Elliot Friedman. I'm going to miss Elliot.
What are we going to do?
I don't know what we're going to do. I enjoyed spending my weeks trying to come up with good zingers for Elliot.
Man, if the Preds get Arvidsson back, you know, he's going to be sitting there going, the Nashville guys, they told me to look for that. Let's see if that makes the podcast. I don't know. We'll see.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll react to what Elliot had to say there, plus what Barry Trotz had to say about the future of the organization, his vision for this Preds team, what he said yesterday on Stillman & Company. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.